Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
John McLean is with us for the 7 o'clock hour. Before we get into some of John's takeaways from training camp so far, dig into some of the guys who are going to need to show some things over the next couple of days. Seth, you said right before the break you have a crick in your neck and you have, your hand is across your stomach.
I've got a sick feeling, and I don't think it's my it's not the trail mix I just ate. Trail mix is fine. Is John sitting here saying that it's more likely that Clowney gets traded than not, and that it might be for anything less than like a Pro Bowl caliber offensive tackle like Trent Williams that can help this team right now? I've really been trying. I've been trying so hard to give the benefit of the doubt to this GM panel and the flat organizational structure and everything else. But at the onset of this offseason, I had several things on my wish list. One, like everybody else in Houston, improve the offensive line. Two, improve the defensive backfield. Three, improve the interior pass rush. Four, don't get worse at other places on defense. That actually wasn't even on the list. I wasn't even thinking about that. But the interior pass rush, for the most part, was not addressed. You drafted Charles Omenihu in the fifth round. Maybe that pays off, but a fifth rounder isn't actually addressing current issues. So that hasn't been addressed. The defensive backfield, I could say that I think that you can make a case that they got stronger, perhaps. We'll see. We'll find out. But now to subtract Clowney from the equation, now you've gotten worse on defense. Like, so the GM panel would have yielded a worse defense in the course of several months. Offense, you address the offensive line, but I can't trust rookies. And I'm high on both those rookies. I like Titus Howard and Max Sharping, but I flat out can't sit here and depend on rookies in the first year. So now I've been trying to fight the good fight and figure out, okay, look, Brian Gain, I was in the corner for these long-term moves. I like being conservative to a certain degree. Trading Clowney away at a bargain rate, if it does come to pass, will have made this entire offseason an abject failure in my mind. If it's for a bargain rate, that will be a panic move by a GM committee that doesn't know what they're doing. Bill O'Brien, Jack Easterby, all the rest of them will have panicked. And it's making me sick to my stomach. Now, I don't want to get sick about it because it hasn't happened yet. I'm just saying if it does happen, that's where I'll be. I'm still holding out hope that they can bring Clowney back here and actually have a good defense again this year.
There is no GM committee. It is Bill O'Brien. He did all the negotiating with John Dorsey, and if they trade Clowney, it'll be O'Brien doing the negotiating with wherever he goes.
So okay. I'm allowed to blame Bill O'Brien finally for some issue on this team?
If you like Duke Johnson, which I do, he gets some credit. If you don't like the Clowney trade, he gets some blame.
Well, now this is the thing, John. I was okay with overspending for Duke Johnson because you know what? All right, you've got the cap space. You need this.
You're going to have 2 third-round picks in compensatory unless there's injuries.
Right. So, I was okay with it because it was admittedly overspending to get a running back. But I got it. I understood it. But then if you overspend for Duke Johnson and sell Clowney at a discount, then all of a sudden we got issues. That's two unwise moves in a row. I can absorb one kind of aggressive not cap smart move because
it makes you better now.
Yeah, because it makes you better now.
But
trading Clowney away to discount just because, I don't know, he doesn't give you the warm fuzzies, that feels like that's not a good GM move.
Yesterday, I wrote about Whitney Merciless because I found out something I didn't know after we talked to Cornell, and he said that he was going to move Whitney around more and let him rush the passer more. So I found out Whitney had been bothered by back injury all last season. Besides, he hurt his hamstring the last day of training camp in West Virginia. And so he started off with that, and then I don't think he ever missed a game, but he had this back issue, and that was hindering him. Now he's 100%, and it wouldn't surprise me if by the time the season starts, he doesn't end up with an extension.
I guess the problem with that is that's great, and I love Whitney, and I like what he brings to the team.
I'm not saying he's Clowney. I'm just saying he should be better.
That he should be better. But it still is a net loss.
Oh, yeah.
Of course it is. And that's the other part of it is that, hey, yeah, an offensive line is really important for a quarterback, but you know what else quarterbacks love having is a good defense. Like that helps a lot for a young quarterback. I remember we had Mark Brunell on last year, And that was what he said, the most important thing for a young quarterback to have was a good defense. So I'm nervous about what this defense looks like without Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, well, if the narrative is going to be, well, they trade him, but they upgraded at left tackle, well, it's not that hard to upgrade over Matt Khalil. You know what I mean? Whatever upgrade you're doing at left tackle, if you were to move Clowney for one of the names that could be out there, is that upgrade, however you value it, is significantly less, in all likelihood, than whatever Clowney brings to that defense. So John McClain with us here live. We're at Texans training camp. Lions and Texans will take the field at about 8:45, 8:50 a.m. today. So, John, training camp takeaways thus far. What about the midway point of training camp? What's your biggest takeaway so far from Texans training camp?
That they're going to be stronger at safety than they were last year when they collapsed down the stretch over the last five games, counting the playoffs. That Jordan Akins is going to be a big part of the passing game. That Duke Johnson, who's averaged 57 catches, can play in a slot, can play in the outside. That Duke Johnson gives Deshaun Watson another weapon. I think Kiki QT, I'd be stunned if he's there for the first game against New Orleans. And so you got DeAndre Carter and then possibly Duke Johnson. And let's see, nothing in the front seven.
What
offensive
about,
line still needs a lot of work, and they still need help at corner.
I guess if we go to the offensive line, we talk about Matt Khalil specifically. At some point here, if Khalil doesn't start looking like a viable option at left tackle, are they going to start giving guys opportunities to start? Does Roderick Johnson perhaps get some more reps with the ones?
I think if Khalil, if they don't make a move for tackle, the Texans starting left tackle, I believe, would be Julion Davenport. And I know they don't want to do that. And this is a big week for Khalil. You know, he needs to bounce back. He worked his tail off. The guy's smart. They like everything about him. But when Mike Devlin was asked about Khalil, and I wrote this today, his quotes, it was all these things but about playing. Everything he brings to the team, but nothing about the playing part.
Oh, and,
that part's
and,
kind of important.
So this is a big week going against the Lions. You mentioned their pass rushers earlier. I liked watching Titus Howard last week do one-on-one drills with the Packers pass rushers. And I thought in those he looked really good, mm-hmm. strong, got good leverage, good hand placement, threw him to the ground. And so now everybody's going to be watching Khalil because it is still – the most important position, and I don't know what they're going to do, but with the current roster, I think they like Howard so much at left guard. They got a lot of options inside. They're going to cut a guy who was a starter. I think that would be Sunil Kelamete. And you guys mentioned Martinez Rankin earlier. I know they like him, but what's he done?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anybody talking anything about him.
He doesn't look – you know, John, he doesn't – look as athletic as he did last year. And I don't know if he's suffering from some injury or something. Like, I don't know if it's a body composition thing. I just, though, I haven't been impressed by just simply the way he moves out there and drills.
I'm sorry, I can't believe we're sitting in a world where the starting left tackle on an offensive line that's protecting Deshaun Watson has an offensive line coach that's not talking about how he's playing.
His actual playing.
Like, this is the first string left tackle.
And this is why I try to be careful when I'm talking about Khalil, because I don't want to sound like I don't like Matt Khalil personally or something.
It's not his
I've
fault.
Been in the same situation he's in that I think he's in. After you've had a certain number of injuries, and he's not actually even that old, but his body's old because he's had so many injuries, you get to a point where your body just doesn't move the same way.
Yeah.
And I can remember after my last ACL, no matter what I did in rehab and everything, there was just not – I did not have the pop I needed. Like, I didn't have the strength or explosiveness that I needed. And you could feel it. It felt like I was dragging my limbs around on the field. And I kind of see that with Khalil. I see that, wow, physically he looks fine, but that body is not moving with the required urgency that you need to block pass rushers in the NFL.
I feel like you're describing – John, I feel like Seth is describing Khalil to a T right now.
That's exactly what it sounds like. Now, maybe all of a sudden this week he'll start to look better, but that's why not just now, but next week in the Cowboy game. And if they don't know by then, although I think they know by now, they wouldn't be looking for a replacement.
Yeah,
you know, now's the time where you got to go ahead and just get yourself an injection in every joint in your body.
That's it.
It's all hell bent for leather here, my friends. Give me the needle. I'm not afraid of no cortisol.
One gigantic numb mannequin running out onto the field. John McClain with us here, Payne and Pendergast live at Texans training camp. John, what's the concern level over Kiki QT's injury right now?
It's an ankle sprain. I'm not sure if it's a high ankle sprain, but anytime you've got a guy playing in the middle of the field who has to rely so much on planting and cutting and starting and stopping on a dime, an ankle injury is not good. And he did not require surgery. That's good. But if it's a high ankle sprain, as you guys know, those things don't heal overnight. You have to learn to play with it because it won't get worse. But if you've never had one, it's incredibly frustrating for the player. So DeAndre Carter, who came back this week, you know, he looks like a guy on the first day of training camp, like a frisky pup. I was talking to the coaches about him. They like him a lot. And that's another thing about Duke Johnson and Stephen Mitchell, Jr. There's a lot of receivers competing for that last spot, and it's wide open right now. Tyron Johnson, the fastest. I would love to see that guy get the ball some more at a 40 or 4-yard catch in the game. But O'Brien, while he was praising him as a receiver, mentioned special teams. And if he doesn't do something on special teams, he's going to end up on a practice squad.
The thing I worry about with Tyron Johnson is that the physical traits are so glaringly obvious that I worry that he wouldn't survive practice squad, that somebody would say, like, well, wow, that guy looks like a prototype. I'm going to yoink him.
Or why was he undrafted?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I can't figure that out.
Well, he transferred, too. He was a 5-star recruit at
LSU. We're seeing why Johnny Dixon wasn't drafted. You know, coming in, I thought, man, that guy's got a chance to make it, and he hadn't done squat.
Yep.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.